Well, good morning. Ooh, that's nice and loud. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here. For some of us, this is a weekly experience, and we know that for some of you, it may be the very first time you've attended, or perhaps you've just begun attending. We want to extend a hand of welcome to you, and if we don't do that quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we want to know you, and we want you to find your spiritual home here. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find an insert. There you can read about many, many ways that you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few. In preparation for Youth Sunday, our youth are challenging us to expand our idea of who is our neighbor and to better know, love, and act for our neighbors. Did you know that 780 million people in the world lack access to clean water? I'm going to repeat that. 780 million people in the world, including children, the ages of these, lack access to clean water. Our youth are partnering with Blood Water Mission, and the theme of our service next week will relate to this, but also you will have a chance to help alleviate some of those difficulties that those children experience around the world, and especially on the continent of Africa. I hope you'll join us next Sunday, and if you would care to, after the service, you can learn more about Blood Water Mission and this emphasis in Reed Hall. Also, along with our youth, there is the spring stock sale for our youth mission trip this summer. You may not be able to go on the trip, but you can take part in it by buying stock. Again, in Reed Hall, there is a table, and this morning, Ames Mullendor, Sailor Tettleton, Sam Beckham, and Mackenzie Peak are helping us out with that. This coming Friday is the Family Fellowship Festival. You can read all about that in your bulletin insert. It's a great time, and the proceeds benefit the children's ministry of the church, both the preschool and the church's children's ministry. Vacation Bible School. It'll be here before you know it. You can begin to register your children today either in Reed Hall, or you can register them online at our website. So please do so. And finally, if you received my email, if you're on that list, and if you opened it, you will have seen a link to a survey. This survey was prepared by our Committee on Lay Leadership, and it asked a number of questions about what drew you to West End, what do you enjoy about West End, where would you like to serve at West End. And you can find it on that link, but you can also find it in your newsletter when it arrives. There are copies in Reed Hall. We would love it if you would take just a few minutes to fill that out. It would not only help the Committee on Lay Leadership, it would help all of us do what God has called us to do in a better fashion. So please do help us out with that. If you ever wanted to witness God at work in the world, here it is. That's what Jesus said. When you have seen a child, you have seen God at work in the world.
Jesus calls us to be his people. Surely the Lord is in this place. As we gather to praise and celebrate the risen Christ, let us acknowledge the aspects of our lives that are still enslaved to the powers of evil and death. Let us turn to the God of grace and confess our sin. Let us pray. O God, your mercy is over all your works. Have mercy now on us and forgive us. For in our brokenness and despair, we have sinned against you and our neighbors. Lighten our darkness, O God. Take away the veil from our understanding. Purify our hearts again with your fire. Renew and empower us, that we might strive for righteousness and holiness even in our daily lives, that we might be transformed more and more into the likeness and glory of the resurrected one, Jesus Christ our Lord. In our brokenness, Christ brings healing. To our hate, Christ speaks love. To our sadness, Christ speaks joy. To our doubt, Christ speaks assurance. Against our despair, Christ is hope. Dear friends, there is nothing in heaven or earth, no power from within or from without that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. By his grace we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, James Michael Paul Clary and Louisa Jane Ham Clary bring their daughter, Amelia Jane Clary, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
There we go. We were hoping Daddy and Zachary would make it. There we go. Yes. It's precious. Hey, Zach. All righty. Are we ready? Are we ready? I think we are. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And so, Jamie and Louisa, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water from both the Jordan and Cumberland rivers. And this child now before us, who receives it today, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Amelia Jane.
Amelia Jane, will you come to me? Here you go, sweetie. Yeah, there we go. And there's your brother. We baptized him 2 years ago, didn't we? Amelia Jane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Mom and Dad and Zachary and grandparents and all our other buddies up here will hold on to her. If you'll put your hands on her, please. Amelia Jane, being born through water and the Spirit, May you always be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. All right, come with me. Let's see all these new brothers and sisters you have out here. Yeah, look at them. And look at all these kiddies that we're singing today. Yes, kiddies, I know. I'm old. What can I say? Ah, oh, look at you. Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
That's a good girl. And face Amelia Jane. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Amelia Jane to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Amelia Jane. In the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10. You can find it at page 895 in the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Jesus, Savior, Lord of all.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come and join us, you're welcome to do so. I love it when the children's choir sings, both for the ministry they do to all of us and the fact that I have lots of great story listeners up here. What you just heard Jonathan read is a sermon. Now, a sermon is what I do up here on Sunday. It's the story. It's talking to you about God, right, and Jesus' love. But this story starts several days before this. Simon Peter, who gives this sermon, was staying in the house of another man named Simon in a town called Joppa. Now, have you ever heard of a man named Jonah who tried to run away from God and a big fish swallowed him? Well, Joppa is where he went to try to run away from God. So, Simon Peter is staying in Joppa. He climbs up to the roof of the house to pray, I guess because he thought he'd be closer to God there. Well, he prayed and prayed and prayed, and it got to be about lunchtime. And his stomach started growling, and he got to be really hungry. And just about the time he was going to go down and see what there was for lunch, a big blanket came down out of the sky. It was a vision. And in it were all of these foods that he wasn't allowed to eat. You see, in his world, there were clean foods that you could eat and unclean foods that you couldn't eat. These were all unclean foods. See, he couldn't eat pizza with pork sausage. He couldn't eat shrimp. There were all kinds of things that he wasn't supposed to eat. But the voice he heard said, "Take and eat." He said, "Oh, no. Nothing unclean has ever crossed these lips. I've never eaten anything I wasn't supposed to eat." And then the voice said, "Do not call unclean what God has called clean." And this didn't just happen once. It happened twice and then a third time. The blanket came down, all of those foods, "Take and eat. I've never eaten anything like that. And do not call unclean what God has called clean." Well, the rest of the story I'll be telling begins right there. But if you remember that phrase, "Do not call unclean what God has called clean," it'll help you understand why Simon Peter was so confused. Because in his world, there were foods that were clean and foods that were unclean. There were people that were clean and people that were unclean. He wasn't supposed to eat the foods that were unclean, and he wasn't supposed to associate with the people who were unclean. But guess what? Things change in the middle of this story. So as you listen, you see how you think Simon Peter changes after he hears, "Do not call unclean what God has called clean." Let us pray. We thank you, God, that you have called us to be witnesses to your love, that you don't call any of us unclean. We thank you that we are able to bring the light of Christ to others, that loving light. We can't do it without your help, though. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. What in the world is a good Jewish boy like Simon Peter doing in a place like this? I mean, he is in Caesarea Maritima. Now, Caesarea Maritima was a city that was built by Herod the Great. It was built on the pattern of a Roman city, which is why the Roman army liked it, which is why Pontius Pilate lived there. We meet Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem, but he's only there for the High Holy Days in case trouble erupts. Most of the year, he lives in Caesarea Maritima, Caesarea by the sea, because he feels at home there. It is a Roman city. Herod included temples to the gods. Herod included a hippodrome. Herod included a theater. And all of them one Roman foot larger than the ones in Rome. Herod wanted to out-Rome the Romans. But it was not a city where a good Jewish boy would be at home or feel at home. Not at all. Well, you see, the story begins with the Roman soldier that Simon Peter is visiting. His name is Cornelius. He's an officer of the Roman soldiers that are garrisoned there in Caesarea, the occupying army in Palestine at the time. You see, Cornelius was minding his own business one day when he had a vision. And in this vision, he was told to go and send servants to Joppa, find a man named Simon Peter, and bring him back to his house. And then, of course, we change the scene, and we have the scene that I told the children about, with Simon Peter going up to the roof to pray, and three times the blanket comes down with food he can't eat, and three times he refuses, and three times a voice says, "Do not call unclean what God has called clean." About that time, he gets word that there are several people waiting downstairs to see him. They are from Cornelius, an officer in the Roman guard. Most likely, they are soldiers. How do you think he felt? He's just an ordinary Jewish guy, and these Roman soldiers have come to take him from where he is, over 30 miles up the coast, to Caesarea Maritima, a city in which he does not feel at home, to the home of someone he does not know. They travel up the coast of the Mediterranean there. They arrive at the house of Cornelius. Peter steps over the threshold. Cornelius falls on his face. Peter says, "Get up, get up, get up. I'm just a mortal just like you." But then Peter reveals to us what he's been thinking this whole time that he was traveling up the coast. Because the first thing he says is, "As you know, it is against the law of my people for me to even be here." He's never crossed the threshold into a Gentile's home before. He's never stood in a Gentile's house before. And here not only is he in a Gentile's house, he's in the house of an officer of the occupying army. Well, Cornelius tells Peter the story of his vision, and Peter tells Cornelius a little bit about his vision. And then Peter begins to preach. You heard Jonathan read the sermon. It starts out, "I now understand that God does not play favorites." Now, this must have been startling for Peter to hear coming out of his own mouth, because his entire religious upbringing was about who was God's favorite. Have you ever seen the t-shirt? Says, "Jesus loves everyone, but I'm his favorite." Well, that's the assumption that Peter was working under. God may love people beyond this group, but we're his favorite, right? No, that's not what he says. He comes to a startling recognition that really wipes out most of his religious training. Everything he has been taught about clean and unclean, right and wrong, who you associate with and who you don't associate with, what food you eat and what food you avoid. Now he says, "I understand that God does not play favorites." And then he says something even more radical. "Anyone from any nation who stands in awe of God and does what is right is acceptable." Wait a minute. Anybody? From any nation? Are you kidding me? Does that include Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims? Anyone from any nation, and all they have to do is stand in awe of this great creator of the universe and then do what is right, and they're acceptable? That's radical even today, isn't it? You don't have to have the right theology of baptism. You don't have to have the right theology of Holy Communion. You don't have to have the right theology about anything. You don't have to belong to the right group. This must have been shocking for Peter to come to this realization. Because you see, after this time, when Peter goes back among his other friends, he kind of waffles on this decision. He has a very profound experience and insight here, but he kind of goes back and forth on it. You see, even in those times, as today, you would have that group that was probably be labeled conservative, and that was James, the brother of Jesus, and the Jerusalem church. And then you would have the radically liberal Paul, who thought that you could just let anybody in. Which proves that Paul was the first Methodist, right? We just let anybody in. And then you have where most of us are with Peter. Well, I know God loves everybody, but am I sure? And this person too? Oh, this person surely is an exception, but I know God loves everybody. And he kind of goes back and forth in the middle. But you see, he's not the one who's initiating this. The Holy Spirit is initiating this. Because when he finishes his sermon telling about who Jesus is and what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit falls upon a group of Gentiles. Unimaginable. Unheard of. Never even thought that could happen. And yet the Holy Spirit, taking the lead, falls on a group of Gentiles. Peter says, my goodness, what's to keep me from baptizing them? And so he does. And then even worse, he stays with them for several days in the house of a Gentile, eating the food of a Gentile. And when he gets back to Jerusalem, he is in a heap of trouble. He's got some splaining to do about what he's been doing and where he's been and what he's been eating and who he's been associating with. But that insight set the tone for the whole early church. Every decision during those first decades among the followers of Jesus, when we were asked, do we close the door or do we open it wider? Every single decision was to open that door wider. Everyone. Now, a little bit later, the church decided it was a little too wide. We start closing it off again. But if you wonder where we in this congregation get our bedrock belief that God loves everyone unconditionally, it doesn't come from some philosopher. It doesn't come from some political ideology. It comes from this sermon. I now understand that God doesn't play favorites. Ever. Anyone from any nation who does what is right and stands in awe of God is acceptable. That's where we get it. That's what we say we believe. That's the understanding we hope to act out of. A while back, a fellow named Rob Bell published a book. It's called Love Wins. It stirred up a lot of controversy in some of the more conservative portions of Christianity, but it wasn't very controversial with United Methodists because we've been preaching that same thing for at least a couple of hundred years, more than that, that ultimately God's love is more powerful than anything in the world. More powerful than anything we can do. God's love is the most powerful presence in the universe. He begins the book with a story. They had an art exhibit at the church that he was serving at the time. And in one of the pieces of art, there was an image of Mahatma Gandhi. And one day they arrived, and there on the piece of art was a stick-it note that said, "Reality check, he's in hell." And Rob Bell says, "Really? Somebody knows that? Somebody knows that Mahatma Gandhi is in hell?" And out of that, he began to ruminate on God's love. How extensive is God's love? Well, fortunately, none of us can make that decision about anyone else's salvation. Did you hear the end of that? God ordained Jesus as the judge of all that is. The office of the judge of the universe is not vacant. We don't need to apply. It's taken, okay? And it's taken by someone who forgave the man who denied him three times, who forgave the people who drove spikes through his wrists. Now, that's the kind of judge I'm going to look for. That's the kind of judge I'm going to need. That's the kind of judge that Simon Peter witnesses to. Did you notice he doesn't call himself and his other companions apostles? He doesn't call them disciples. He calls them witnesses. Now, as you who attend here all the time know, we have gone through all of the vows that we reaffirmed just this morning during the baptism, that we'll support what God is doing through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And in this Eastertide, we're talking about witnessing. Peter refers to himself and those who were in the presence of Jesus as witnesses. And what he witnesses to is the love of God that came in Jesus Christ. And in that love, we finally recognize that is something that is so radical that even today it's hard for us to accept. So just understand, I'm not the one saying this, okay? I'm just quoting Simon Peter. But let me tell you, I now understand that God has no favorites. That anyone from anywhere who stands in awe of God and does what is right is acceptable. And ultimately, you want to know who wins? God wins, which means love wins. Thanks be to God. One way we remind ourselves of the story of God's love in action is through the repetition of creeds and affirmations of faith. And so I'd invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. There you'll find an affirmation of faith we've received from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
One of the great joys of community is celebrating each and every person gathered here for worship. We're so glad you're here. If you're a visitor, guest, we invite you to join us in Reed Hall out these doors to your right. Pick up information about the ministries of the church, meet a few people, and let us give you a loaf of bread for your journey. Remember your visit with us. In the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns, and the other side is for comments or questions for staff or lay leadership of the church. You can fill those out and drop them in the offering plate when it comes around in just a moment. Also, there are attendance pads on the inside of each pew. If those haven't made their way down the pew yet, you can pass those at this time. Sign your name, look at the names of those that are worshiping with you, and get to know those people when you have a chance. And then when those pew pads come back to where they originated, would the last person to hold those go ahead and tear out the sheets of paper to save our hospitality team members a little time in collecting those after the service. Our sympathies are extended to the Elledge family. Cliff and Lee Elledge and their son Harris are mourning the death of Cliff's mother, Jean Elledge. Jean's service was yesterday at 61st Avenue United Methodist Church. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving and creating God, your love transcends all and includes all that ever exists. Together as your people, we thank you for the gifts you have given each of us, especially for the gift of grace that extends beyond all boundaries to all people of all backgrounds, to the furthest reaches of creation. Your love fills and flows through those who have the courage to open their hearts and minds to the undeserved gift that you offer. Help us to recognize and accept your love, and use each of us to share our experiences of you as we proclaim and model your love to others, especially toward those who most need to hear of your unconditional love for them. Help us understand how deeply interconnected we are to each other. When we hurt others, we hurt ourselves. Loving others, we love ourselves. And in caring for others is just one way in which we care for ourselves. As we grow to recognize our connections and shared identity across all creation, let us celebrate by making unselfish decisions that benefit creation and affirm life. Empower us to channel the love you showed the world through Christ to overpower the fear that controls so much of our planet, especially in parts of the world where the threat of violence continues. Help us model a different way of being, grounded in peace and understanding. Guide us and use us to be a witness to your love in all realms. In the name and spirit of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God's love extends across all boundaries to all people. Let us further witness to that love that God shows by presenting our offerings and our tithes.
Now I send you forth as witnesses to God's love, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in you generous friends. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.